You come out on this old cold night, supposed to snow from what I understand. I appreciate each of you that came out to worship the Lord. Tate Valley Baptist College has about 11 students from what I understand last night. Get everybody there, we should have about 13. So if it's a good time to start, if you'd like to start and take a little bit of extra Bible study, it's an excellent class. It's every Tuesday night at 6:30. So this is the winter term, so you be sure to remember that if you'd like to come. Several just come just to sit in and not take it for credit. And others, I think most people is taking it for credit, though. We're really thankful to have the fine number, but it's a good time for you to start if you'd like to get a little bit of extra Bible study every Tuesday at 6:30. Psalms 119, let's go ahead and move into our next section of this psalm, trying to break these down each section. Remember that it's in 8 verse sections. Each one corresponds to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And they would use psalms like this to teach the alphabet to the little Hebrew boys and girls. They'd do that. And they also would help them learn the scriptures at the same time. This is a stroke of brilliance, this psalm is, but God is actually the author of it. And as you get into each section, for instance, if we're in verses 41 through 48 tonight, and you see V-A-U with a little sign over it, that's the Hebrew word vav. You say, well, how do you know it's translated? Like, I found that on the internet where they pronounce it for you. So it's vav is how you pronounce that. And each word, 41, 42, 43, 44, each letter begins with that particular word. Each word begins with that particular letter in each verse. So it's really a unique psalm. And the focus of the whole psalm is the Word of God. That's the big stress of the whole psalm. And we've entitled the whole psalm, the wonder of the Word. And it really exalts the Word of God in this text. Now what I'm doing is I'm giving you an outline for each section and giving you the title for each section. So I'll do that here in just a moment. So let's look down into verse 47 and verse 48. And let's go ahead and from these two verses is where I'm going to get the title. It says, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. What did he love? He loved the commandments. And the word commandments is another name for God's word. When we're talking about God's commandments, God's statutes, God's words, it's all talking basically about the same thing, just a different word, different, a little bit different meaning, a little bit different look, but it's all God's word. Okay? So he said he loved God's commandments. Does everybody see that? He loved them. And you look down into verse 48, it says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. So two times in two verses, He expresses a love for God's commands or a love for the Word of God. Now, what we're going to do with this section is I'm going to give you six evidences of a love for God's Word. If someone, I mean, it's one, you know, if you poll everybody, if we could poll everybody in the congregation, I could ask every one of you individually, do you love God's Word? Well, all of us is going to say we love God's Word. Well, but if someone really, truly loves God's Word, it will show forth certain evidences. Do you agree? It will show forth certain evidences. So what we're going to do, I'm going to give you six evidences of a love for God's Word. That's what the title is. So if you love God's Word, some of these evidences you should be able to see in your life. Now, where I got the evidences from is just from this section. We're going to go ahead and glean this section, and we're going to bring out of it certain evidences of a love for God, or a love for God's Word. Okay? Are you ready for the first one? That sounds simple enough? So let's go ahead and look at the six. Let's get our first one. The first one is in verses 1 and 2. It says, let thy mercies come, verse 41, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer them that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. Now, the first evidence of a love for God's word is you show you love God's word by trusting it. Does someone really love God's Word that doesn't trust it? I mean, think about it. Think of the opposite of it. I mean, does someone really love God's Word that doesn't trust it? One of the evidences that you love God's Word is like He says, I trust in Thy Word. Now, that's what saved our soul, was it not? Is we trusted God's Word. When you read in the New Testament, people get really confused about the word believe. You know, when you tell someone how to be saved and you go to the New Testament, it says you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Man, you ever had anybody look at you and say, and you know they was unsaved, and they say, well, I believe in Jesus. The word believe means to trust in Him, and that's the idea. And when you're talking about trusting in the Lord, you're talking about trusting in what He says in His Word. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And I'm going to talk about one of the ways that you can know that you're saved. The book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I want you to notice what it says in verse 43. Boy, I wore this verse out on the radio broadcast this past week and in this next week's broadcast too. This Simon Peter's preaching, and he's presenting the way of salvation to a Roman centurion by the name of Cornelius. And now he's come down to the end of his sermon. And he says, verse 43, to him, give all the prophets witness. It's all the Old Testament prophets. To him, give all Isaiah and all of them. To him, give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name of Jesus, whosoever believes in him. What's the word believe mean? Trust. Put your confidence in Him. Whosoever trusts in Him shall receive what? Remission or removal or a putting away of your sins. Now, I trust that. How do I know I'm saved? Have you ever had anybody ask you how you know you're saved? You know how I know I'm saved? Because I've trusted in Jesus. I've trusted that He died for me and rose again the third day. And this verse tells me that if you trust in Jesus, your sins are remitted. You see, you base the confidence of your salvation on the Word of God. You see what I'm trying to say? Sometimes people will tell you that they're saved and they'll say, well, I'm sitting in the church pew and the best feeling come over me. And when that feeling come over me, I knew I was saved. Feelings go up and down. You realize your feelings change from one day to the next. You don't base your salvation on a feeling. There's going to be some days you wake up and you don't feel saved. You don't feel it. But you know you are. You open up the Scriptures. You turn to Acts 10:43, and it says, whosoever believeth, trusteth in Him, in Jesus, shall receive the remission of their sin. I trust that. See, that's how you know you're saved. You base your salvation on the Word of God. Look over to Acts chapter 13. While you're here in the book of Acts, show you this. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse 39. And by Him, I can't start without looking at verse 38. Let's begin at verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You got to have your sins forgiven. It's the most important thing in the world is to have your sins forgiven. By him all that believe. There you have the word believe. What's the word believe mean? Trust. Trust. All that believe. All that trust are justified, declared righteous from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All that believe. All that trust. That verse tells me I'm saved. You see what I base my salvation on? How do I know I'm saved? Acts 10, 43. Acts 13, 38 and 39. John 3, 16. John 5, 24. Romans 10, 9. And, I mean, the Scriptures tells me I'm saved. I trust in His Word. You see, one thing that don't change. You know one thing that don't change? Never changes. You have to base your salvation on the book. That's why when I ask someone, are they saved? And they tell me about a tingle, it makes me nervous. Don't base your salvation on a tingle. People look for some type of a big sign or wonder so they'll know they're saved. You know what you look for? You trust His Word. You trust His Word. This book tells you that you're saved. The Bible says, Him that comes to me, now that's the verse that the Lord used with me. It's the verse, of the Lord, by the way, while I'm on the subject, it's the verse the Lord used with you too, Brother Dave. Him that comes to me, I will no wise cast them out. Man, I've came to Him. I've asked Him to save me. The Bible tells me that I'm saved. What I base it on? I trust in His what? I trust in His Word. Well, that's an evidence of a love for the Lord. And that's how the walk with the Lord, let's go ahead and go back to Psalms 119. That's how the walk with the Lord begins. By faith, by trusting in Christ, which is trusting in His Word. We know to trust in Christ because His Word tells us to. So we trust in His Word. That's what we base the salvation on. And folks, that'll never change. Isn't that wonderful? See, you're basing on something solid. You're not basing on something that'll change. See, a feeling, remember I told you, does this? You're basing on something that never changes, and you're basing on something that's solid. I know I'm saved because the Scripture tells me I am. That's where you base it. Okay? Now, our walk began that way, but we have to continue to trust God's Word, don't we? We have to continue to trust God's Word. We have to trust His promises. We have to trust Him. We got to trust all the blessed benefits and things that He's given us through our salvation. He's given us some precious promises in His Word, hasn't He? Great promises that really, indeed, for our journey here. I don't know how long my journey is going to be. Do you? But for my journey here, He's given me some pretty great promises that helps carry me all the way through that. Well, I trust in His Word. See? And when you trust in His Word, you know what it does? It gives you hope. Look back at our text here. Look at verse 43. It says, I take not the word of truth utterly out. It says, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. I have hoped in thy judgments. Judgments is another word for the Word of God. When you trust in God's Word, it gives you hope. When you don't trust in God's Word, what do you get? You lose hope. So we trust in God's Word. That's what gives us strength, and that's what gives us hope. And that is an evidence. That is an evidence of a love for His Word, is you trust it. And that's what God's people are known for. One of the evidences that God's people are known for. Let's get evidence number two. We want to get all these in. Evidence number two. Let's look at verse 43. It says to take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Out of my what? Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Now look on down in the text. Look at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies. Testimonies is another name for God's Word. What's the second evidence of a love for God's Word? How else do you show you love God's Word? Number one was by what? By trusting it. What's number two? By speaking of it. By speaking of it. You know, you talk about what you love. Do you agree? You indeed talk about what you love. If you've ever, when I used to work on the dock and the different drivers would come in there, I could tell what they loved the moment they come in. Some of them, when they come in, I could tell they love biscuits. To be honest with you. But some of them, but they come in and eventually with a little bit of a conversation with them, I can tell what they love. And they'd talk about, if they liked hunting, that's all they'd talk about the whole time I'd be loading, and they'd talk about hunting. If they liked NASCAR, people talk about what they love. Do you agree? What really excites them, what really they are passionate about, what they love is what they talk about. Can a person really love God's Word and never speak of it? Can a person really love God's Word and at the same time never really ever speak of it? I think the second evidence of God's Word, that you, the way you show that you love it, is by speaking of it. I think that's something we as God's people need to do. Now, Turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to show you a couple things here. We need to speak of God's Word as we're given the opportunity. 1 Peter chapter 4. Now, just not, of course, I'm a preacher. That's what I do. That's what my life evolves around, is speaking. And it involves speaking the Word of God. But your congregation that are part of the church. And as you go out on jobs, as you go out in your family, you need to also speak of the Word of God. Share what you learn at church. Share what you learn in Sunday school with other people as the Lord gives you opportunities. Notice what it says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always." You see what this says? Be ready always. Why does it say to be ready always? Because you really don't know when an open door is going to come right in front of you where you need to share your faith with someone or where you need to share a truth with someone. It's amazing how the Lord opens opportunities up for you to share things. So it says we need to be ready always to give an answer. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So each of us at one time or the other, if you know the Lord, if He's your Savior, the second way you show you love the Lord is by speaking of it. But we'll have opportunities at times to share the faith with somebody. The Lord will open that up. And we do that by doing what? By speaking. By speaking. Sometimes you can be on a job and someone will come to you, especially know if you're saved, and they'll ask you about an issue. And you share with them what God's Word says. By speaking. And the Lord many times will give you the opportunity to do that. God's people should speak of God's Word, of course, if they love it. If you love God's Word, then you will be wanting opportunities to share that message or some truth with somebody by speaking it. We should also speak of it in casual conversation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I've read this to you many times. What is your favorite conversation piece anyhow? What is your favorite? What do you like to talk about more than anything else? Brother Mike Shamlin, I'll put you on the spot. Well, I hope you answer it right. What's your favorite conversation piece? Isn't that your favorite conversation piece? Wouldn't you rather talk about the things of God, the Scriptures, about the Lord, about spiritual things? It should be your favorite conversation piece. And that's an evidence, of course, you can realize Mike loves God's Word. See, that's an evidence of it. Not only do you trust it, but you also speak of it. You'll be given opportunities as children of God where you work at to share things with people as the Lord opens opportunities. Where our young people go to school at, you'll be given opportunities to share things with people. And the Lord gives you that opportunity. You'll say, well, wait a minute. Let me get Jeff and bring him down here. Now, he'll tell you, no, that's not how it is. They don't want to hear it from Jeff. They want to hear it from you. So you need to know. You need to know. And so you can speak. So you can share. You that are parents, you need to know the Scriptures and have a love for the Scriptures and speak the Scriptures so that your children can learn the Scriptures from you. Who taught me the Scriptures first? I can think of a lot of pastors that I've had over the years that's taught me the different things of the Word of God. But my first teachers of the Word of God was my mom and dad. That's who taught me the Scriptures. I can remember that. See what I mean? And that had a profound impact on my life. It really did. So you need to know them so you can, in order to speak them, you have to know them, don't you? In order to speak them, you have to know them. Notice what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. Let me find the text that I wanted to use. Verse 6 and 7. I love this verse. If you're a parent, mark these two verses in your Bible. If you're not a parent, mark them too. Mark them and see what they say. Verse 6. "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. And thou shalt talk You see the word talk? You're speaking about it. Now, this is casual conversation. Sitting around the... Of course, we don't got dinner tables anymore where we sit around, do we? Is that gone? I'm seriously. It's and dinner went with it too, didn't it, Dan? Leave it to Roosevelt. And dinner went with it, he said. Oh, no, hey. You know what we got in houses now? What do we got in houses? Anybody know what it is? Everybody's got their own TV. And that's just completely divided the whole family up. And you know all the good, holy, godly things that comes over that. Boy, our society, I'm not going to get off on it, but that really reflects it. Used to be you had a family that ate together. What happened to that? I didn't realize that's gone, but it is gone, isn't it? Almost. Think about it. It's almost gone. Used to have the family would sit down and eat dinner, and Dad would pray. Sometimes you'd round the conversation, many times would be about the Scriptures. We've almost, our society is reflecting the things that we've lost. It's reflecting the things that we lost. And it's sad. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them. See? Talk of them. When thou settest in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, that's a lot of talking about God's Word, isn't it? And if you love God's Word, that's what you see. And if you want God's Word to influence your children, that's what you'll have to do. Of course, in order to do that, you need to know God's Word too. So that's the second way. That's the second way that you show your love. The second evidence, I should say. Second evidence that you show love for the Word by trusting it and by speaking of it. If you don't trust it and you never speak of it, then do you really love it? Number three. Now let's go back to Psalms. How many did I tell you I had? Six? All right. Go back to Psalms 119. Let's get our third one. Third evidence of a love for God's Word. Now, so far, if I've covered one and two, do you love it? Are you showing the evidence that you love it as we bring these evidences out? If you don't, then you need to correct that. Ask the Lord to help you with that. Verse 44. Notice what it says. So shall I keep thy law. Law is another name for the Word. So shall I keep thy law continually. Forever and ever. Now, we had this one last week. If you'll look back up into verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep. Did everybody see that? Look down at verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep. So the third way you show you love the Lord is by keeping it. By keeping God's Word. It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to know it. It's altogether another thing to do it. It's the doer of the Word that's blessed. It's the keeper of the Word. Now, he said last week, we noticed that he would say he'd keep it unto the end. This week, what does he say? And I shall keep thy law continually forever and ever. Forever. Certainly, we should desire to keep God's Word in this life, but we will keep it in literally, we'll keep it forever and ever. Don't you want to keep it forever and ever? You show you love God's Word by keeping it. By keeping it. Show you something. Turn to the Gospel of John. I think it's chapter 15. Now, if you can't find these fast enough, don't worry about it. Just write the verses down and find them later. And then just listen. It's better because you can get caught in looking and then you will lose track of the message. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. What's the third evidence of a love for God's Word? Keeping it. Really, that's who loves God's Word anyhow, is the one that keeps it, strives to keep it, do what it says. This is what Jesus says. John chapter 15 and verse, let me see if I wrote this verse down. No, I'm sorry, John 14, verse 15. Got it reversed. Imagine that. John 14, verse 15 says, if ye what? If you love me. John 14, 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. That's what it says. If you love me, that's what you do. If you love me, keep my commandments. Notice down in verse 21 of the same text. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. Now that's, you know who said that? The Lord did. The Lord said the whole book, by the way. But this is when Jesus was here on earth. He said, if you love me, keep my commands. Do what I tell you to do. That's how you show you love the Lord. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he is that loves me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself unto him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Hey, do you know anybody? Now, I think that, let's go ahead and go back to Psalms 119. Do you know anybody that when I could say somebody's name, maybe somebody you worked with, maybe somebody you went to school with, somebody sticks out in your mind. Do you know anybody that when someone would mention their name to you, you say, you know what, they love the Lord? Do you know anybody that you can actually say that? I hope you know someone you can say that about. Maybe someone you work with, maybe somebody in your family. And someone will say their name and you say, you know what, though? I can tell you something about that old boy. He loves the Lord. Or I can tell you something about that woman. She loves the Lord. Now, I think that's the highest testimony that can be paid to a person. Do you agree? Now, if they love the Lord, I can guarantee you one thing, one characteristic. Well, they have all three of these. I guarantee you they have all three of these characteristics that we've talked about so far. But I can guarantee you one thing. They seek to keep God's Word. They seek to keep it. They don't talk it. They might talk it, I mean, as far as telling you what it says, but they do more than talk it, they obey it. They do what it says. And just not when people are looking in secret, they seek to obey it. I mean, if you don't seek to obey the Lord in secret, it's all hypocrisy anyhow. Remember, what you are in secret is what you are. What you are in public many times is what you put on. We're not to put on anything. But we are in secret, and we're to be in public. We're to be obedient in secret, and we're to be obedient in public. We're to keep His Word. All God's people said. That shows love for the Lord. Now, if you disobey the commands and habitually disobey, now we sin every day. There's not a person here that doesn't make mistakes. We all do. But the desire of our heart is not to. John Piper uses an illustration I thought is real good. It's not that we as Christians that are without sin. It's that we fight. Do you know what he means by that? It's there's a fight. I mean, here you may sin or you may do something wrong, but there's an inward turmoil and fight inside over it. And even after you do, there's an inward turmoil and strife inside over it. See? And that's true. As a whole, as a lifestyle, we are to seek to obey God's Word if we love it and we love Him. Joseph is a tremendous man of God in the Scriptures. And he was in Potiphar's house, and of course we all know his Potiphar's wife wanted to commit adultery with him. Joseph was a fine-looking young man. And she cast her eyes, and every day, she tried to pull him into sin. And you know what Joseph said? Can I do this thing and sin against my God? He loved God too much to do it. Isn't that awesome? I think it's a tremendous statement that can be made. You show you love the Lord by doing what He says. Now, on the other hand, I love King David. He's one of my favorite characters in Scriptures. But he did fall into sin, didn't he? Now, you remember what happened whenever he did that? God sent Nathan the prophet to him. Actually, that was a merciful thing because he sent Nathan there to correct him. Set him back where he needed to be. See, he just didn't let him go, Coy. He'd been out of fellowship with the Lord for almost a year. But he never did repent. I'm sure the Lord dealt hard with him, but he never did repent. So he sent him a prophet to him. But one of the things the prophet said, I'm sure, broke David's heart. He said, you have despised my word. You have despised my commandment. and done this thing. And then he said, and you have despised me. Oh, I think it broke David's heart. Scripture speaks of despising the commandments of the Lord. One of the judgments I read not long ago, the book of Amos, and judgments he's mentioned to Israel, is you despise my commandments. America, as a whole, despises God's Word. You agree? Despises it. Oh, there might be a Bible in every household. But you show you love it by keeping it. All God's people say it. That's the truth. That's how you show it. So that's the third evidence of a love for the Word of God. Trusting it, speaking it, keeping it. You got those three? Let's get the fourth one now, verse 46. Verse 46. It says, I will speak. I'm sorry, verse 45. Wrong one. It says, I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts. The fourth way that you show you love the Word is you seek it. Now, we've mentioned that several times. And we'll mention it several times as we go on down through Psalms 119. And guess what? I'll probably mention it every time. You say, well, why? Because the Lord wants emphasis put on it. That's why He mentions it so many times. If He mentions it so many times, I'll probably mention it that many times. We need to seek the Word of God. Seek it. That's one of the ways that you show that you love it. That's a sign of spiritual health. That's a sign of spiritual health. Is that you seek the Word of God. We all know the Bereans, the people of the city of Berea, Acts chapter 17. It says, we always, when we say the Bereans, what's the next word out of our mouth? We call them Bible students, don't we? It says they received the Word with all readiness of minds. And here's what it says they did. They searched the Scriptures daily. Oh, we're still looking for folks to search the Scriptures daily. I'm just trying to get us to spend 5 minutes a day. Everybody in the house. Everybody to spend at least 5 minutes a day. You say, well, that's not very... If we can just get everybody to do 5 minutes, I think it'll lead to more. If you can just start with 5 minutes a day, just reading a chapter out of a book of the Bible. Pick a book. Or if it's getting one of the, I think our daily breads is gone, which I was glad to see that. I wanted them all to be gone. They ain't back there to collect dust. And read the little devotion in the front and the Scripture with it. Take about 5 minutes. It'll make a difference in your life. You need to seek it. Turn back to the book of Ezra. I want to read, I love this verse. Book of Ezra. First and Second Chronicles. 1 and 2 Chronicles in the book of Ezra. Chapter 7. You show you love God's Word by seeking it. I want to hear it. Verse 10. It says, For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Everybody see that? He had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, then to teach it. You see that, Harlan? He prepared his heart to seek it, then to do it, then to teach it. In other words, he never taught it till he did it. He learned it, he did it, then he taught it. I've taught our Sunday school teachers and our different teachers that you teach by what you say, but your greatest teacher is what you do. They should be able to see what you teach in what you do. It's double emphasis. So Ezra sought the law of the Lord, and then he did it. You need to seek the Word. You need to seek it every day. People everywhere, I guess we're always looking for people that's looking for a church. Because I love to get people that are seeking a church. And if you ever leave here, you need to seek a church. Do you agree? That's what our covenant says. If you become a member here, And if you have to leave here, then you seek a church just as soon as you leave here. See, that's what you do. You see, that's what you covenant to do. Now, what does people look for? It wears me out. Now, if I leave here and I'm looking for a church, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for somewhere that teaches the Scriptures. If they don't teach the Scriptures, I'm not going to go. I'm not looking for a basketball gym or a bowling night or a bingo night or none of that stuff. You can have it. I'm looking for a place that teaches the Word of God. That's what we're here for. The church is called the pillar and the ground of the truth. The Great Commission is after people have received the gospel, after a disciple was made, they're to be baptized. Then where are they to be? Taught. So when you seek a church, you seek some place that teaches the Word. Now, nothing wrong with having programs and things, but you can't let these things be the pull that pulls people in. You might have some good bowlers, but that's not going to cause them to increase spiritually. You want them to learn the Word. You want Sunday school teachers and teachers that teach the children the Word. Well, they won't sit there. Yeah, they will. They'll learn. Holy Spirit, you don't rule the Holy Spirit out of this thing. The Holy Spirit honors His Word. And He'll touch His young people's hearts with the Word. That's how the Holy Spirit works. I ain't for all that stuff. Seek the Scriptures. If you ever leave here, I pray that you don't ever do it. But I pray that you seek the Scripture. You teach a place that teaches the truths of the Word of God. Seek it. Seek it. Do you seek the Word? Do you have a desire to seek the Word? Now, when someone wants to seek the Word, it'll evidence itself. People will show it. People will show it. Now, number five. The fifth evidence of a love for the Lord, love for His Word, is also a love for the Lord. And you can say it either way if you like. It's seen in verse 47. It says, "I will delight myself in thy commandments." It's the fifth evidence of a love for the Word of God is you delight in it. You delight in it. Let me turn you another scripture. Keep your place here. Turn right over to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. Now, this is a good verse to mark. I really like this verse a whole lot. I got it underlined in my Bible, Jeremiah 15. Listen to how this man felt about God's Word. And this is how you should feel about it. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them." And you took them in. See, not literally. He devoured the Word of God by taking it in, listening to it, thinking about it. "And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Everybody see that? "Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart." Jeremiah delighted in the Word. That was an evidence of his love for it. The psalmist of Psalms 119, which many say is David. I don't know for sure who wrote it. We don't know for sure. He also loved God's Word. It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. I seen Betty McClung this past Saturday and went in and sat down with her. She was on a roll. Betty McClung loves God's Word big time. And she came, not this past Sunday night, but the Sunday night before, and we talked about where we'll be gathered together, the clouds. She loved that. She loved those scriptures talking about being gathered. "Oh, Jeff, I'm looking forward to being gathered." She's got the prettiest wording when she talks too. But she loves the Word of God. You can be up here preaching, and when the Word is someone's joy and rejoicing, you can just see she's just absolutely eating that up. Smile big as Texas on her face, and she's listening intently to the Word. You can tell them folks love the Word. Elizabeth is one of the easiest churches to preach in. as far as people that really seem to enjoy listening to the Word. It really is an easy place to preach. There's been places I've preached in the past where it seems like the best part of the service is when it was done. And everybody's like dead, you know, looking up. But when you know someone's listening intently and they're joying and rejoicing, that's the fifth evidence, is there is a delight. You delight in the Word. It brings you joy. I'll see something in the Word and I can't wait to call somebody to tell them about it, you know, at the Lord's show. You love it. Number six. This is the last one. Sixth evidence of a love for God's Word is by thinking of it. It's in your mind. And I've mentioned this one last week too. But it says in verse 48, "My hands also will lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate." Remember, we've seen that earlier in the chapter, verse 15. "I will meditate." Meditate. It means you think about it. You got His Word in your heart. I encourage you to do that on occasions. If you can, do it every day. If you could just get a verse, just one verse, you write it down, maybe stick it in your pocket, and just get it in your mind and just think about it. Think about, well, what's this mean? What's this really saying to me? And just get it down in your mind. You might think about this message that I preach, if you got it down on paper. You might think about it tomorrow as you're working, if you have a job where you can think about other things while you work. Some jobs require such concentration that you can't do that. But stacking drums didn't require a whole lot of concentration, especially if you've done as much as I did. And I could think a lot. Meditate, think about the Scriptures. Think about it. And the Holy Spirit shows you so many things when you think about it. So you not only need the Word of God on your speaking it, but you also need it in your mind where you're thinking about it. See? So those are six evidences of a love for the Word of God. Trusting it, speaking it, keeping it, seeking it, delighting in it, and thinking on it. Those are six evidences of a love for God's Word. Now, how'd you do on that test there? Do you have any of the six? I pray that you at least got one. If you don't at least got one of them, then you need to ask the Lord to help you with that. Say, "Lord, I don't love Your Word like I should. Help me to do that. Help me to get more out of Your Word." And one way to get a lot out of it is come as much as you can to the house of God where you can hear it taught and preached. Let's all stand.